It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I've struggled with that. I was going to try to get down and be with Rusty Thomas and the crew down in Louisville, and I just couldn't make that happen. All of you ask, I'd ask that you just be in prayer about that. Just kind of keep that at the forefront of what's going on. The Mother's Day 11 are in federal court today. I'm talking about Rusty Thomas, and Rusty just lost his son, right? Now he's in federal court about whether or not they're going to be charged with face. They've been charged with the face crime. And they expect to have some type of resolution from it today. They're not really sure whether the federal government wants to continue the prosecution of it. Folks, do you see selective prosecution everywhere you look? It's amazing. You know, they were like, how many people were killed in Chicago last weekend? And one arrest, I think I saw. One arrest. One arrest. And 5 people show up, 11 people show up and sit down outside of an abortion clinic where they're killing babies inside. And the full force of the federal government comes down on them. We can't understand the spiritual dimension of what's going on around us. And understand that the whole battle and the whole debate going on with the Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, Supreme Court, it's abortion. It's all about abortion. Folks, it's all about abortion. Now, we ought to step back for a minute. And we ought to ask ourselves this. If abortion is so important to the left, maybe we ought to ask ourselves why. And if abortion is so important to the left, maybe that's the zone we ought to be zeroing in on. Maybe that's the battle we ought to be fighting to win. But we're not. We don't. We're more concerned about Colin Kaepernick and whether he takes a knee and Nike makes him man of the year. We got people all in an uproar over Colin Kaepernick. Hey, I understand why he took a knee. I don't agree with him. I don't agree with everything the country does. I see what's going on. They're killing babies. And you can't get a church to upset about it. You can't get people to show up to a protest Planned Parenthood event. But boy, you put Colin Kaepernick taking a knee at Nike. I get all my Nikes at Goodwill. All of them. And never bought them. Why would you go out and pay $40 for a swoosh to advertise for Nike? What? Are you sick? That's why I advertise for this guy everywhere I go. I advertise for that cross. I don't know if you've noticed it. That's my logo. I wear it everywhere I go. I ain't wearing no Nike gear. They're slaughtering stinking babies. And Rusty Thomas and 11 guys show some courage, and they go down and they sit down in front of the door and they say, over our dead bodies, you're going to do this. And the federal government comes sweeping down on top of them. You better understand this, that the federal beast and the law enforcement is designed for one simple purpose. Are you sitting down? I wrote about this about, I don't know, 10 years ago. Everybody think that's crazy. The whole purpose of the criminal justice system right now is to make sure that the law-abiding continue to obey the law. They have no interest in going after the real criminals, those who are breaking the law. They want to make sure you buckle your belt and a policeman sets along the road and he waits for you to drive by going too fast and pulls you over. He gets $180 out of your pocket so that you will continue to obey the law. Because they understand they can't control the lawbreakers. They can't control it. It's too big a syndicate. It's too big the devil is too much on the loose. So they have focused all of their attention on making sure those people who are already obeying the law continue to obey the law. That is our criminal justice system. In a nutshell. Yeah, is that Jared, somebody coming in?
Yeah, to second that, absolutely. That's absolutely, that is, I'm the guy building a business, I'm the guy signing the contracts, I'm the guy spending the money, and they get an email complaint and I'm the bad guy. I'm immediately the bad guy. Legally, like, I mean, it's all geared to destroy me. It's all geared to destroy the person who's actually the client of the service provider. It's geared all to control, geared to them.
Jared, it's geared to control yes. you.
And I'm the law-abiding, right? Yeah.
Right. They want to control. They want to make an example of you so that anybody else who's currently following the law gets a burr up their hind end, and they want to push back. They want to be able to say, well, okay, look what happened to the ETH. Go ahead. And so that's how they do it. That's how they manipulate us. That's the whole thing with the IRS. It's all the same thing. They are controlling the law-abiding. Do you have any idea in America right now probably how many people are not paying their taxes? You have any idea? Well, they're not going after them. Al Sharpton owes millions of dollars in taxes. They're not going after Al Sharpton. They're going to go after little old you. Keep you. Yeah, trust me. Just trust me and look around. You see if that's not what's going on. Criminals are getting away with stuff left and right. But boy, you go too fast. You don't buckle up. Oh, you're in trouble, man. Huh? That's where we are. I don't know how I got on that other than understand what's going on. Understand what's going on. Did you see Cory Booker yesterday? Supposedly violated Senate rules that are so serious that he can be expelled. And so now we have law breaking in high places and there's nobody to do anything about it. In fact, Cory Booker said, well, they're not going to do anything about it. That's where we are. And they'll get away with it. And Hillary gets away with it. And Podesta gets away with it. And Comey gets away with it. They all get away with it because why? Those people are criminals. They know they can't control them. By golly, you don't pay your taxes, they're going to come after you. Huh? You speak up and call somebody a homo, they're going to come after you because their job is to control those who are already obeying the law. And can I tell you, just as bad, the pastors are just as bad. The pastors want to keep you law-abiding. Law-abiding. Don't question authority. It's this, man. How to win friends and influence people. I'm just trying to red pill you and open your eyes and understand exactly what's going on. See that it is an ungodly, godless system that we are plucked down in the midst of. And you can pray all you want to for the rapture to get out of here. Until you are raptured or until you are getting out of here, they're going to continue to put a stranglehold on the word of God, those who serve the Lord, and truth. The strangleholds on the truth. They're killing. It's more dangerous to live in in Chicago, Illinois, than it is to be on the front lines in Afghanistan or Syria or wherever we might be. It's more dangerous. I saw news the other day that we had a soldier that was killed in Afghanistan. First one had been killed in a while. Killed in Afghanistan. It made the news. There was like 50 shot last weekend in Chicago and 50 the weekend before. And they're not doing anything about it. Why? Because they have given up trying to control those who are lawbreakers. Your eyes will open to that and you understand. Anybody want to add to that? Chad? Am I wrong? I don't want to get Chad in trouble. See here? Well, I don't care if I get Chad in trouble. Chad's job. He's a law enforcement. By the way, when did we come up with those? Law enforcement. I thought they were to protect and serve. I thought that was justices of the people.
What happens is we got law enforcement when people gave up their guns, okay? When they decided that they were going to be civilized, okay? And they gave their guns up to certain guys. I mean, you saw it in the movie Tombstone. The sheriff came in, he took charge of things, and he took the guns away, and people did it, and he just handled all their problems for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like your preacher. We've done the same thing. We've given him all the authority, right? The one that has to study all the scripture and just tell us what you want us to do, preacher.
Yeah, that's right.
The same way.
And tell us what to fight against or not to fight against. And I wonder if any pastors are going to mention Colin Kaepernick from the pulpit. I bet some of them do, because boy, that's critical. You got to stand up for America, but don't stand up for unborn babies. And you guys are smart enough to know this. I'm a patriot. I'm a patriot. But our government's not always right. All right? They're not always right. And you can swing. See, if they get you to swing that red, white, and blue, hold your hand over your heart and defend America, if they can get you to do that, then you're not going to be able to question government. Open your eyes and see what's going on. This is government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so when you stand up and you point your finger and say, government is wrong here, Well, then all the people got their hands over their heart. You're now a rebel. What are you doing? God bless America. Well, it's the greatest scam that's ever been pulled on us, and we have to fight to return to that. Jared, put the calendar up there for us if you real quickly. Chad, thank God for your reign. Michelle and I laughed at that video. I don't know if there's any way we could share that video. Michelle and I were at Chad's last weekend. Whenever it was, 10 days ago, whatever. Man, was it dry. Chad lives in Moody, Texas. Ah, was it dry. And they had the most unbelievable gully washer last night. Chad got it on film. And God bless you, Chad. When was the last real rain you had? Not that I'm a weatherman here. When was the last big rain you had?
Probably 3 months ago. Maybe more.
That's something. Oh, 3 months ago. Folks, are we at the mercy of the weather or what? Wow. Huh? We are at the mercy of the weather. I got Jared to put our schedule up here. This, by the way, Flea Flicker Friday. I want to talk about Judith Reisman, but if I have to put it off till Monday, I'll do it. Kinsey unveiled. Did I tell you yesterday that I heard from her and she's agreed to come on the show? So we'll try to get everything tightened up there a little bit. Jared, I'm trying to find you on here. Where are you there? Where's Jared over here? Must be at the top, maybe. I don't see you. There you are. There you are. Okay, folks, let me run down through this real quick because there's some new things on here. This Sunday, I'm going to fill the pulpit for my friend Pastor Tom Gill at the Gathering right here in Thornville, Ohio, 10 a.m., open to the public. Most of you know where it is. If you don't know where it is, there it is right there, September 9th. Google it, right? September 14th, we're heading to the Greater Texas Salt and Light Brigade Assembly with Chad and all the good Texans down there in Moody, Texas. That's September 14th, 15th, and part of the 16th. Now, if you're going to go down there, Chad needs to know, just so he makes sure he has all the, you know, enough food and all that kind of stuff. And again, come for the fellowship. The word will be good. It'll be a good word. I mean, it'll be good. The fellowship will be, it'll be really, really rich. So that's September 4th. That's coming up next weekend. All right. Chad, anything to add on that? I don't mean to keep doing that to you, but anything to add on?
Okay. I'm here to help. And I just ask that you bring a chair, whether or not I don't really need it or not, but it's better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. And dress casually. Okay. Dress casually. If you're new people coming, I don't want you to show up, with your slacks on and a tie. Okay. Cause you're going to be out of place. Okay. I wear shorts. So,
yep.
Just come casual. Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay. We're trying to get that. Listen, if you're not willing to sacrifice to drive 4 hours, then you're not really concerned about the fight. You're not really concerned about it. It's all hot air. If you won't sacrifice 4 hour drive down and a 4 hour drive back, my son-in-law, he's going to Wisconsin. You ready, Rob? Going to Wisconsin this morning. Why? Going to go watch the Green Bay Packers play the Chicago Bears Sunday night. It matters enough to them to get in their car and drive 7 hours to go watch that, 11 hours, however far it is up to Green Bay. It matters to them. And so we're out there griping and moaning and complaining about the condition of America. We're trying to, I don't have a church to go to. Coach, do you know any good churches near me? Is there nobody? Well, no. But here's a good gathering you can come to. Oh, yeah, but I got golf outing that weekend. Well, okay, so it is what it is. Then September 29th, I finally got this one up on there. We're doing a regional huddle right here in Ohio. Lowell's got a good location for us down there. We'll get more information up there. I don't think we have we do. The address and everything is on there. September 29th from 10-12. That's a Saturday from noon until 9 p.m. Now, we say it's going to go that long because just a fellowship, cooking hot dogs and that kind of stuff around the fire, gathering there. We want you to try to get there. Lowell's contact information is there. Chad's working with Lowell. Lowell's got a great place out in the middle of nowhere. We need places out in the middle of nowhere. And it will be a good thing too. September 29th. Now,
hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me. Yep. Okay. Gary jumped me yesterday, and I wasn't really ready to give him better information, but it'll go all night, and then people can stay over, you know, and we'll have a, you know, service on Sunday morning. Okay. Because that way I don't expect them to, you know, drive home. They can come early, stay late, you know, and it's the usual routine like Chad's talking about, you know, bring your own chair, your own bedding, you know, soft drink of choice, because I don't know what everybody wants to drink. You know, some people want regular soda, some want diet and all different kinds, but I'll provide water. And like you say, you know, I have fellowship, barbecue, have a couple of classes that we've got put together on ham radios, simple first aid, you know, that type of thing. But the most exciting part is the bonfire.
Yeah, and just get to know each other, right? Just get to know each other. So, Lowell, they can bring a sleeping bag, and there'll be a place for them to throw that down. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, under roof and got electric if they want to bring their, you know, phones to plug in and all that other kind of stuff. So,
all right. Awesome, man. Awesome.
Hey, Lowell.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you've signed up for STAB yet or not, but we got a couple of STAB guys that are really interested in getting other STAB guys with ham radio knowledge together and start working on emergency communications when we need it.
Well, okay.
There we go. We need to start to knit it together.
Yeah, so sign up with STAB, and I'll try to get you guys connected together.
All right, we'll chat offline.
Then October 3rd, Modern Floor Covering in Oskaloosa, Iowa. We have an event going on there, main floor covering. Denny Bryan's running that whole thing. He's really pumping some effort and energy into this thing, man. And so if you're out in that Iowa area, right there on our website is all the contact information. Folks, we're getting some momentum going here, okay? We're getting some momentum going. So we're going to be in Oskaloosa, Iowa, just for a one-night event, October 3rd. And then, not even on the calendar, just firmed this one up yesterday. Jared, I emailed this to you. Maybe you can go real quickly, Jared. This thing is kind of interesting to me as well. Go to where it says October 10th, Manchester, Iowa. Because Denny's event is in Oskaloosa, which doesn't mean anything to me. But this is pretty fascinating for me. This is called Fields of Faith. October 10th, Dr. Robert Rufus. One of the guys behind this. I'm going to go back to Iowa on October 10th for what's called Field of Faith. And what a Field of Faith is in Iowa, in this small town in Iowa, the people have just kind of stood up and decided it's time for us to get more involved here. And this is organized by the local Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and it's an event in the stadium. This group of people have rented their football stadium, and they're calling people to come to a Fields of Faith event. And they've asked me to come out and be a speaker. Is that awesome? So that's going on at the same time. That explains this website that I have in front of you, Fields of Faith, explains how you can do this in your own community. What a great idea this is, man. What a great idea.
Amen.
So October 10th will be, I mean, October 3rd, I'm going to be in Oskaloosa. And October 10th, we're going to be in Manchester, Iowa. I guess they're like 200 miles apart. Those are not close. Folks, can I stop right there a second? Okay, I heard you, Lauren. When we go to one of these places, I tell the people, it's not going to cost you a cent. We're going to do it all. We're going to do it all. Now, I just want you to look at some of the things we got going on right now. And I can't do it if you don't help us financially. Make a donation. Get a hat. Do something. Help us to do that. Help us to fund the battle. You say, well, Coach, yeah, they're probably giving you thousands. Oh, give me a break, will you? So some of you, let loose of that $20 bill this month. Could you think maybe you could do that? Could you let go of a $20 bill and help us out? We're doing good stuff. So let's move on. Let's go to the next one, Jared. Let's go back to the other schedule. Earnestly Contending for the Faith. Is Rob Pugh in here with us today? Is Ray LeBlanc in here with us today? This is going to be quite an event, because now we've got not only the Salt and Light Brigade, but Rusty Thomas and Operation Save America, and Matt Tuella and Missionaries to the Preborn. This is becoming a larger event called Church Arise, Operation Save Wisconsin, October 20th, 17th through the 20th, 2 days in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Then we're going to get in our car and drive down to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We are bringing the remnant body together. I didn't notice. Is Rob in here today? or is Ray in here today? Anybody that can speak to this?
Rob's not in. He's busy
okay,
putting together the newspaper, so okay. He's kind of in isolation. But Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to be in Marshfield. Thursday, we really need a big turnout because we're going to hit the whole neighborhood of Marshfield, try to hit 2,000 homes just to blanket the area with what's going on in Marshfield and in the state of Wisconsin itself with literature from Salt and Light Brigade to Wisconsin Christian News and to the other Ministry of Mercy, so that we try to put more people in the area to what we're doing and what our efforts are. And
that's
then,
right.
Of course, we're going down to Milwaukee and hit that abortion clinic. So we need a lot of turnout there. That'll be the last 2 weeks.
Listen, if you can't make it to Marshfield, make it to Milwaukee. Or if you can't make it to Milwaukee, make it to Marshfield. Come and join us. And if you've never done an event like this, man, this is a great place to cut your teeth, because we'll have a lot of people. We'll have hundreds of people be with us, and you won't feel like you're, you won't feel like you're on the spot and you don't know what to do. You just come and hang out and you just watch what goes on. And that'll be a great event as well.
It looks like there's going to be a good turnout. I saw from posting with the OSA leaders. And so there'll be, like you said, there's going to be hundreds of people there.
It's going to be good. It's a good group.
No, so Coach. I'm getting a little bit late. Did we lift up Rusty and the team going before the court this morning?
We didn't. We spoke of it. We didn't pray about it. Go ahead and pray right now, dear.
Amen, brother. Right now, in Jesus' name, we lift up these 11 people, Father God, that were doing the duty of the police officers who refused to do the duty and interposing themselves on behalf of these little baby boys and girls being slaughtered. Today, Father, they go before the federal beast. And we're asking, Lord, that you would turn the judgment of that courtroom, God, that your Holy Spirit would encompass in that place, Father God. Lord, we are praying for favor in this, Lord. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Dale. Amen. And I know that I know God's going to be glorified in that whole situation. Yeah, if you missed at the beginning, Dale, I was talking about the whole purpose of police and government now is just to police the law-abiding, to make sure those who are righteous enough to obey the law continue to obey the law. That's really everything we see that's going on.
Yep, they used to be called peace officers.
They did.
Peace officers.
Yeah, justices of the peace. They did. Yep, they're not anymore. They're not. No, they're law enforcement. Law. And stuff, things that aren't even law, they enforce. Codes. They enforce codes. Make sure your seat belt is buckled.
You know what's crazy about that, Coach, is that every single one of these officers across the United States, when they're sworn in to uphold the Constitution of the United States first. Here's the problem. How can you uphold something that you've never read? Never read. How do you uphold that?
Yeah, well, you watch in the federal government, they're not upholding it. For November 3rd, regional, I'm calling Tanya today, Bethlehem, PA. November 3rd from 9 to about 3 o'clock, same thing. Teaching, fellowship, whatever. Bringing together what we believe is those who've been red-pilled, whose eyes are open, trying to build a force together out there. Tanya's itching to get that thing going hard. Again, folks, help us. We have to rent a venue. You say, oh, Coach, you got all kinds of money. Yeah, I do. I got money falling out of our pockets. But I don't know how you are. When you spend money, the account goes down. Help us out here. November 10th, we have a regional huddle in Tulsa, Oklahoma with George. George is working on... You see the momentum we're building here, folks? You see this? November 10th. So if you're in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, doing the same thing. All this stuff is on Coach Dave Live on a calendar. Tip of the cap to Gary Pierce, who continues to light dynamite under my hind end to make sure that I do it. The next day, I'm going to be speaking at Pastor Charles Jennings Church, Rose Hill Covenant Church in Tulsa. So we're getting out there. Now listen. When we hit November 11th, here's what happens every year. People all of a sudden are drunk over Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's like a 6-week shutdown. I've watched it. We don't try to plan anything through that 6-week period because you can't get people to show up. They're Christmas shopping. They're going to company parties. They're going to everything. All through that. So if you're listening out there right now, let's begin to look after January and let's begin to get some things. We want to come to you and we want to help you build something right where you are. I feel bad right now. Just sent me Josh Manna's brother offered for us to come to Florida, and I never really firmed that up. He wanted us to come down there in the warm weather. So I'll get back to him. But listen, if it's just you, say, well, Coach, it's just me. What can I do? Well, you can partner with us, and we'll help you.
Well, Coach, I want to say that we couldn't bring the brigade to Florida, so he came back to Texas. There it is. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. My wife asked me something. I'll get with you later, Chad. Okay, cool. Anything else for the good of the group? I'm folks, this stuff's important. I want you to see. I wish you could feel the synergy that I feel. Wish you could feel it. Because there's, I've said before, we can play a game. We got to have a team. We're building a team, and it is very, very critical right now. Right now, guys, girls, this is it. This is it. Right now, we are. Can you watch what they're doing? Can you imagine that the New York Times published an anonymous editorial? Can you? Like Judge Roy Moore all over again, isn't it? Anonymous. I'm a very important person, and I'm so upset with what's going on in the White House that I'm going to write an editorial, but I'm not going to put my name. And they publish it. If you can, people say, well, Trump's just as much as part of the deep state as Hillary is. Really? Who you been listening to? You've been listening to those never Trumpers. And if you don't get it and you don't see what's going on, it's going on. All right. That took 27 minutes. I said this would be Flea Flicker Friday. I haven't given many of you a chance to flick anything on the table. I always have things to flick on the table, but I'm going to open the door up. Somebody come on in.
Coach, I'm reading in the chat about this Florida law that was passed about gun ownership, and it just sparked something inside of me. It's an amazing thing that states will write laws limiting gun ownership, which is part of our constitutional right. So in other words, we'll thwart the federal beast on these gun ownership laws, but we won't write state laws thwarting abortion.
Dale, you weren't in here at the beginning. And so I'm glad you brought that up. Here is the question I laid out there. We know that the entire Kavanaugh hearing right now, the entire Kavanaugh hearing is about abortion. That is it. That is Roe versus Wade, protecting Roe versus Wade. By the way, they asked Kavanaugh the other day, do you believe Roe versus Wade is settled law? And he said, yes, it is settled law. And everybody goes, oh, no. Oh, no. Hey, dummies. The next abortion decision is not settled law. Roe versus Wade might be. But when the next case comes before the Supreme Court with new information and 4D ultrasounds of babies alive in the womb, Roe versus Wade may be settled law, but now we have new information that will over. Can't you see? I can't believe how we are programmed to not understand what's going on. So listen, the left knows Roe versus Wade is about, it'll never be overturned. You understand? Roe versus Wade will not be overturned. When Judge Kavanaugh says he's not going to overturn Roe versus Wade, he's not going to. There's going to be new information come with a new case that will supersede Roe versus Wade. And so this idea, we don't understand, and the left understands it, and they are hell-bent on making sure they can still murder babies. It's all they are worried about. Now, if our opponent is so worried about keeping abortion legal, why aren't we just as committed to ending it? We see, I'm a football coach, and when we're playing, well, when we're getting our football game plan together, I say, what play do we have to stop? What do we got to stop? We got to take away their best play. We have to set our defense to take away their best play. If we lose because they get to run their 26 power down our throat the whole game, we deserve to lose. We have to stack the box and not let them run that play. Make them run something they don't want to do. Now listen to me. The left wants to run the abortion play. We don't understand why they're so hell-bent on abortion, but they are. We see it. They are. So what should we be doing? We ought to be stacking the line of scrimmage. We ought to be plugging that hole on abortion with all the energy that we have, because it matters that much to them. And are we? No, we're worried about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. Did you see that, Ethel? Nike's honoring him. I'm not buying any more Nikes. I'll have to get my Adidas on when I go to church to pray and end abortion.
Deflection, coach, right? Deflection.
It's deflection. So if their best play is abortion, how come we're not trying to stop it? I mean, really, really, really trying to stop it.
Because coach, people don't understand what's at stake. They don't understand what's at stake. It's a bunch of Satanism that they're doing.
They don't understand, Vinny, the spiritual component of abortion. The church doesn't understand. It funnels all. It's the lifeblood. It is the spigot. It is the financial bonanza. It is blood, is currency in the spiritual realm. They know, folks, if they know abortion is ended, their money is cut off. Their spiritual money is cut off. They know it.
Hey, coach, abortion, just like you and I agree, abortion has got the tentacles to the LGBT community, to the family destruction community. Everything ties back to destroying the image bearer of God. Because if you can destroy the image bearer of God, you destroy the family, you destroy everything in the order of the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, coach.
Yes, go ahead.
Two things. One, Dr. Mike Spaulding will be our guest on our CNC Stab Leadership PNCC on Sunday night. So all of you guys that are members, if you want to be added to the link to join in on that meeting, just let me know. And today is my beautiful bride's and my 50th anniversary.
Wow.
And instead of asking for a donation to a nonprofit organization, I'm asking anybody that has any respect at all for what I'm doing, join up with STAB if you haven't done it yet. Let's do this for our kids.
Happy anniversary, Larry. You know what, Larry? You must be married to a saint. Yeah.
And on the abortion thing, I mean, do you even need to understand the spiritual component? Here you go. Here's the component of abortion. Killing your children and the next generation is bad.
It is literally killing your future. I mean, come on. It's literally killing your future. And it's bad, Jared. It's bad. And is the church having a boycott? Has anybody seen the local church boycotting something? I mean, in regards to abortion?
No, they're having potluck dinner.
Having potluck dinners and preaching from the pulpit about Colin Kaepernick and how we have to love America.
Pass, I love America. Pass the fried chicken.
Pass the fried chicken. So I'm gonna keep hammering it for all I'm worth, because as I said, I believe it's the root of all evil. I believe that abortion is the root of all evil that's pouring into this nation. Hey, how can you just let me try to unpack a couple things here. We must hate our kids. We put them in a beastly education system. We fund an education system that is anti-Christ. Does anybody want to make the argument for the moral superiority or the moral whatever of the public schools? Can anybody out there justify, from a moral point of view, the public schools. I'll give you 10 minutes here. Can anybody make a case for the morality of the public schools?
There's no case to be made. It's satanic.
Well, there's a vote from Vinny. Can somebody give me the moral argument for public schools?
None.
Yes, I can.
Okay, do it.
My argument for the morality of the public schools is the public schools are a moral body of teaching because they have decided appropriately to follow the morality of the culture. Thus, since they are following the morality of the culture, they are a moral body of teaching and are not in resistance to what the culture would like to have taught and supported. I rest my case.
Common core. We're with you, Roger. We're with you. So nobody can give us a good moral argument for the public schools, yet we continue to support them financially, and we continue to put our children in there. We must not love our kids. Why would anyone put their child into a system that is designed to destroy them morally and say, well, you know what? Our kids are going to be okay there because, you know, we take them to Sunday school. They're in youth group. And when they go into those schools, they'll be salt and light.
That was exactly what I was going to say, Coach, is that, and I've had this debate with pastors. You know, oh, well, my children are going to be the salt and light in there. I said, well, good. Then do you bring them out to the abortion clinic? No, I don't want to bring them out there. I said, you're a hypocrite. I said, you're a hypocrite. You're going to send them to a public school where you're not there to monitor or see whatever's being downloaded into them. Yet you could be out in front of an abortion clinic. You want to talk about the gates of hell. They're both gates of hell. But yet it's such a hypocritical statement.
So education is destroying our kids, and we continue to support it. JR is trying to run a ministry of the Natural Family Foundation, and the absolute destruction of the natural family is everywhere we look. In fact, the residue, stealing David Arthur's line, the residue of the broken natural family you can find in your church, and your local church is full of broken natural families. It is what it is. And why is it happening? Because the local church isn't even actively fighting to protect the little unborn children, to love the very least of these, my neighbors, to do that, to rescue the women and children in their time of need. We're not doing any of that. We're to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. The church is not doing any of that. We couldn't possibly love our children, women. We certainly don't love other people's children. And then the consequences of aborting our children is stab. The Muslims are all going to overrun us by sheer numbers, because they are having children and we are not having children. And I just wrote a commentary myself about it, about the crown of an old man is his grandchildren. And if I run right down through here today, I'm not going to do it. I wonder how many people in this huddle right now, over the age of 60, let's say, which is an old man, getting to be an old man. It isn't, but 60's old. I wonder how many people in here over the age of 60 don't have any grandchildren. Don't have any grandchildren. Now, I would think, I'm thinking back to my dad. My dad was a grandfather at late 40s, probably late 40s. I got friends, my best friend, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. One of my bestest buddies turning 70 and no grandchildren. Why? Because his children aren't having children. Why aren't his children having children? Well, they were loving, great parents, tremendous, overbearing, loving kids. And they created selfish kids who now it's all about them, and they want to go out and play and run around, and they don't want to do what it says in the book of Proverbs. The crown of a man is his grandchildren. Children's children is the crown of an old man. And you look around, how many people do you know that are of the retirement age like me don't have any grandkids? Or if they do have them, dare I say it, boy, I got a heartbreaking email yesterday. I got a heartbreaking email from an 89-year-old man that I know. I would share it with him, but I don't have his permission to do it. Who has 5 grandchildren who he has never met. He's never met. Because his son and his daughter, no, his son and his daughter-in-law went off and joined, he called it some religious cult, and they're living off somewhere else, five grandchildren, and he has never met his grandchildren. Now, I think this could be played over and over and over and over. And I was just reading an article this morning that says that the greatest insurance of a healthy life that you can give your child is to raise your child in proximity to the grandparents. A study was done on that. Think about that for a second. And I think every day when little David and little Reese come running down that hill, I jokingly say that they think they live here. And it's because I'm building I build a relationship. See, my grandchildren are my touching the future. It's a sign that I'm impacting the future because I'm building into the grandchildren. But think of how many people you know, number one, that don't have any grandchildren, or if they do have the grandchildren are in California and you see them, golly, hope get to see them here every, maybe we'll see them a couple days at Christmas there, Betty. I don't know. It's a scourge, folks. We hate our children. It's odd. We hate them in an odd sort of way. We flower them with all kinds of gifts, best education. This is all in this commentary that I just wrote. And how do they reward us? What's supposed to be my reward in my retirement? My grandkids come down, sit on my knee. And a large percentage of us don't even have grandkids. It's sad. Yeah, somebody come in. Yeah.
And from a younger person's perspective on that too is when the depth of thinking or the depth of spirituality of your grandparents is how's the weather. It's you don't really want to have your kids around them anyway. Honestly.
I understand that. We've been
the depth of wisdom. You know, the depth of their wisdom is hey, go into debt, buy a house, do what we did. That was awful and destroyed, yeah, right. You know, so
yesterday I got invited to, I went up the hill for dinner last night. Abby and Morgan they're the ones that are going to go to the Packers today. So they invited Gigi and I up the hill and we go in there and we sit down and we had a fight before dinner started. You know what the fight was over? Was Reese or David going to say the prayer? That was the fight. And, it actually kind of blessed my heart. So we let both of them pray. And it was amazing. Yeah. They both could pray. It was amazing. Now, it probably wasn't real in-depth prayer, but they could pray. And the joy of my life is my grandkids. And I thank God my daughters have honored us with giving us babies. Jared, pull that up there. Is that Proverbs 17:6? What is it in that commentary? Is it Proverbs 17:6? I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to stay. There it is. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Children's children are the crown of old men. And we have children not having children. And it has consequences. It has consequences. See, when I go to the abortion clinic and I see those old death squirts standing out there, I get on them hard, man. I get on them hard. Say, you are here. You're helping kill somebody else's grandbaby? Are you sick, dude? What is wrong with you that you are here killing somebody else's grandbaby and they don't even know it? And you ought to be standing in the gap defending your neighbor's grandchild. You guys see what I'm saying?
I got a job to do, coach. I got a job to do.
We don't love our children. It's a woman's right to choose. Woman's right to choose? What are you talking about?
It's not their life to choose.
Hey, somebody knock me off of this. I'm in this. I'm not going to get out of this rut if somebody doesn't kick me out of it.
Now, this is to your younger people like Jared. Go to Psalms 127, verse 4. Like arrows are in the hands of a warrior, so are children in one's youth. They will be silencing their enemies when they contend with them in the gates. Brother, come on, man. Jared, you're a military guy. How many bullets do you want in your gun? One, two, or as many as you can have.
Amen. Yeah. Well, not even that, Dale. Even more than that, they're not your bullets. They're the Lord's bullets. They're the Lord's children, right? That's who they are. When the Lord told us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, we have disobeyed that. See, I think, okay, it's all right. I think that's more grievous to the Lord than whether I eat pork or not. That I shut off the fountain of fruit in my wife and I's life. That I cut off the reproduction of children at three. To me, I think that breaks the heart, Lord's heart more than if I eat pork. I think that hurts his heart more whether I go to church on Sunday or Saturday. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm trying to show you that there's always a greater law. Always. See, you praise me with your lips. Oh, you go to church every Sunday and you follow all the feast days and you do all that stuff, but you stopped having children. You started taking that pill. You didn't want to have any more babies. And I was trying to pour life through you and you didn't, but you kept the Sabbath. I'll give you credit for that. Which one grieves the Lord more? I think, it's a heart, isn't it? Isn't it the heart that is deceitfully wicked above all things?
Amen, brother.
Isn't it possible to praise the Lord with your lips, with your mouth? Praise him with your mouth, but your heart be far from him. Isn't that really what we're talking about? If the Lord says, as Psalm 127, put that back up there, Jared. If the Lord said, oh my goodness, lo, verse 3, lo, children are an heritage. Jared, I'm sorry, I got to do this. Go to Webster's. Go to Webster's. Heritage. An inheritance. An estate that passes from an ancestor, an heir by descendant or course of law, that which is inherited. In Scripture, the saints, the people of God, are called his heritage as being claimed by him and the objects of his special care. If you are a child of the Lord, those children aren't yours. They're his. They're his heritage. Well, they don't preach this in the church. Go back to Psalm 127, Jared. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They aren't your kids. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, wait a minute. Is the fruit of the womb his reward to you or your reward to him? Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Is the Lord giving you children for you, or are you giving children for the Lord? And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Is it his reward to you, or is it your reward to him? I'd say it's both. But you ain't doing that. Some of you cut it off. I cut it off at three. I should have had 20. I'd have made it. We'd have financially made it. Yeah, we'd had to put back bunk beds. We'd had to stack up the bunk beds in the corner and put five kids in a room. Yeah, we'd have done it. We wouldn't have been the first family to have done it. We'd have made it. We'd have been made it. And then I'd be like Matt Truella. I'd be sitting up there and had 67 people.
And coach, look at Rusty Thomas's for Jeremiah's funeral. They had to block off the first three rows of that sanctuary just to
when they came walking in. Was that unbelievable day when that family came walking in? It was incredible, right? See, that's the heritage of the Lord. That's an honor to the Lord. We tell people in church. You want to know why we're under judgment? We don't even encourage people in church to have babies. I'll never forget going to World Harvest Church, Pastor Rob Parsley, who I like, standing in the pulpit. You're not financially stable enough. You're not prepared to have children. I suppose there's some truth in that, but that's not what the scripture says. Scripture says what their blessing, their heritage of the Lord.
What job did Adam have? What was he, a steel worker? What was he? Who paid him? No, God's first blessings to mankind was be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. And when we are refusing to be fruitful, we cannot subdue our enemies. Psalms 8:2, out of the mouth of the babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou might still the enemy, and the avenger. Without the children, brother, we can't win.
I believe the Lord. That's why the Muslims are overrunning us. See, they're outproducing us. They're creating heritage to their Lord, and we're not, because we are. We're Lord. We're Lord. We're in control here. Lord just gave us 2 bit. I can't tell you the number of emails I got. Okay, wait a minute. Where was I, Jared? Oh, you switched on me. Okay. Verse 4, Psalm 127 now. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's a mutual reward. You give, he gives you life, you give him babies. The heritage. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that his quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, time out a minute. Who would be those enemies they'd be speaking with? If there's a separation between the church and state, religion and politics don't mix, well, who would these enemies, who are the enemies that they're speaking with? And where's the gate? Jared, little Webster, what does Noah Webster say about the gate?
And Coach, when he's going there, here's an insight to that also. Understand, yes, the children are the heritage unto the Lord, but as the arrows are in the hands of a warrior, a mighty warrior sharpens his arrows. The tips are never dull. We have dulled these things. They're blunt. They couldn't kill a cockroach on a wall. That's what we've done with the children that we have had. We have not sharpened them. We have not prepared them for battle.
We put them in youth group. We put them in cotton candy Sunday school, right? Jared, go down to number 4. Gate, an avenue, an opening, a way. In scripture, figuratively, power, dominion. The seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Genesis 2:17. That is towns and fortresses, right? The gates of death are the brink of the grave. The gates of hell are the power and the dominion of the devil. We are going to contend with his enemies in the gates. In the gate. That's what our church is supposed to do. Produce children, the heritage of the Lord, who will contend with the enemies in the gates. Who are the enemies? The ones who've occupied the gates. The ones who've taken over the gates. Politics and Christianity don't mix. We're not going to turn our pulpit. We're not going to poison our pulpit with politics, you fool. Yeah.
And for those grandparents and for those millennials who have the grandparents who have betrayed their children and the millennials who feel betrayed, you got to forgive up and they got to repent down in a way. It's never too late, right? It's never too late. You grandparents, it's not too late. If you look at your family and you say, my family's a mess and it's my fault, you're right. Repent.
Yeah.
And your grandkids are your chance to undo it. But, look, I'm 60. I'm 65. I watch my wife nurture our grandchildren. It's the most unbelievable thing to watch. My wife nurtures them better than their parents, because the parents are young, earning a living, trying to keep their life, the house going. My wife is pulled back. When those grandkids come down, my wife nourishes. So it's a remarkable thing to watch. And my heart breaks for those of you. I salute Mike Heath and Polly Heath, whose grandkids were 500 miles away from him, and they pulled up roots and they moved to where their grandkids were, because it matters. It matters. And I drove by a house the other day where a guy just died, farmer. And there he had one of those big $250,000 campers, mobile homes out there. You know what I'm talking about, those big campers you drive around the world and had all those tractors and all those arms. These kids are pieces of crap, training their grandkids in the ways of the devil, watching them go into the public schools and poison everybody else around them. Vanity, vanity, Solomon said, all is vanity. I don't know how I got on this, and somebody's changed this up. All right, we got 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes.
Coach.
Yep.
I'm just going to add this. You know some of the situation. As you're reading that scripture, the last verse you read, I'm battling that, and you know the situation with my kid and my grandkids are 10 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
I go through, and there's a church dividing us, that cult-like church they're in. And my son made a statement to me the other day. I got to chat with him for the first time in a long time. And he's putting them into the public school now this year, the first year at freshman level. And he said, oh, Dad, they're well-grounded. I said, son, you're a fool. And boy, I was just not happy. But here I go through this whole last year and into this year. The grandkids live 10 minutes away. They don't come to either one of the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving over here. Mary Jane's birthday, my birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day. These Christian kids have no association with their grandfather.
Because okay, let me cut it off right there, Jeff, because I'm out of time. Jared, go to the Ten Commandments. Go ahead. You can keep talking, Jeff, if you want to. It's in, somebody help me, my brain went dead. Ten Commandments. Exodus 12, isn't it? Or is it Exodus 20?
I think it's 19.
Exodus 19. Go ahead, Jeff. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, I know where you're going. Go ahead.
So let's go to the Ten Commandments here. Let's go to the Ten Commandments. I think it's 20, 12. I think it's 20. There it is. Okay, look at this. Fourth commandment. This is what I wrote about. Go on down a little bit farther, Jared. Keep on going down. Talking about the Sabbath. Keep going. You're doing great. Come on. Here we go. Commandment number five. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. You know what the problem is, Jeff? You haven't taught your kids to honor you. They may love you. They may take advantage of you, but they don't honor you. And it comes back to the same thing. I got to do a show on this, although I did already. You look at your children. We've taught our children how important and valuable and how special they are, and they've believed it. And now they're 35 years old, and they still think that they're valuable and special, and they're out running around living their life just for them, and they won't even give you a grandchild. They won't even give you a grandchild because there's no honor. There's no honor. Jared, real quick, Webster's, what's honor? What's honor? I think we did this yesterday. Honor. Honor. The esteem due or paid to worth. High estimation. A testimony of esteem, an expression of respect, of high estimation by words or actions. So listen. So to honor your parents. Not love them. Honor them. We don't teach honor. Can I tell you why? You put them in government schools and they undermine everything you taught them. How do you expect them to honor you? I feel this deep today. You know, really, really deep. And the greatest. You sitting down, Roger? I hope you are. Because you take your kids, most of you. This is why I really liked it. Doc and Elizabeth Johnson, the activist mom. They had a slew of kids. And they came in Sunday morning service and they sat down and not one of those kids went to Sunday school. Not a one of them. Not a one of them. They taught their children to come into this church, sit down and honor. Honor. What's going on in that room? You sit there and you shut up. But the average person can't wait to walk into church and hand their kids off to Sunday school so they can go in there and do whatever it is they do. They don't want to be bothered. And you know why they don't want to be bothered? Because they haven't disciplined their children enough to sit there and shut your mouth. It's a place of honor. Shut up. And so because they can't control their children, then they're surprised when their kids are 15 years old and they're having unruly children. Why? They haven't honored their father and their mother. Hey, talking to me. We've done it to ourselves, boys and girls. So we got some work to do. And as we know, the problems in America, we got to make the church great again. Hey, Pastor Mike Spaulding, got to make the church great again. Got to make the pulpit great again. Got to make Christianity great again. Got to make the church great again. America will follow if we do that. Bless you. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.